Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, welcome to Oracle Divination Network. You've got your Omega 7 Live here coming at you on this broadcast. How is everyone doing? I'd like to say habarigani to my old friends and to say what's up to those new friends. Ladies and gentlemen, I am your illustrious hostess, Sherelle M. Garth, also known as Omega 7, and I'm coming at you with a topic. There is a $5 billion business in every woman. And we're going to find out just why I made that statement. And we're going to find out how we can unlock the opportunities for minority women to become two minorities, a female and an African American. And what benefits are out there for those double minorities? And what is this plan about? A $5 billion business plan. A $5 billion contract is available for those women out there who would like to become an entrepreneur, who are interested in developing their entity, setting up their entity for their business, giving themselves a business name, having the business name researched to clear the name so that they can properly use it, registering with the government with IRA, and making sure that the name has been cleared, determining your entity, whether you want to be a sole proprietor, an LLC, a C-Corp, or an S-Corp. You have to establish that and go and get yourself a bank account and once you establish the name, and then set up your bank account. But you definitely want to make sure the IRS has given you your EIN number, your individual number, that identification number that you carry for your business, and you will need that business to get your Dun & Bradstreet number, which they will use that as your Social Security number for your business. So all transactions that are done under that EIN number for your business are connected to your business for your business worthiness to see if you're paying your business bills on time. And you want to get that Dun & Bradstreet number. You also want to get a NIAC number, an industry number. What form of business are you in and what category are you in? And describing whether it's marketing, education, whether it's IT, there is a number called the NIAC number that actually gives every woman their individual industry number. Now, once you have actually cleared your name and established a name and also received your EIN number from the federal government, then you are ready to see about whether or not you can establish your entity through going through an attorney or establishing it on your own. Because it all depends. If you establish it on your own, you're going to need an administrator to help you with those articles of incorporation. You know you have to report the minutes when you have your meeting, and it has to be recorded, and you need an administrator, someone to help you write your articles of incorporation. You need a board. And for those of you who are planning on selling stock, you definitely need to know whether you're going to be non-for-profit or for-profit. Now, there's a whole lot that goes into this thing tonight, and I do want to give you a little message in advance. We're going to talk about that brand new mansion that was purchased by one of Essence Magazine's administrators. I don't know if he was administrator, but they named him as the gentleman who had created his own line of products and who decided to buy the mansion of Madam C.J. Walker's. And that mansion was up for sale, and it was purchased by a gentleman so that he could start collaborating and offering the entrepreneur businesswoman a service so that they could come in and get a cosmetic facelift of their business. Those who might have discontinued their business because they needed to borrow money and couldn't, those who needed financing, those who needed to talk to a bank, who just needed an overall facelift and needed someone to help them. He has bought the building so that he can use that building for training and for the benefit of those entrepreneurs who are startup business and who need to connect with lending institutes. Now, I have been a part of a project that came out of Chicago for women in the northwest suburbs of Illinois, Shelburne, Illinois, Hoffman Estates, Illinois, where in Hanover Park, where we worked with women all over the northwest suburbs who had their own independent business, who some of them might have been contractors who turned into entrepreneurs, who set up their business with an entity, some of them sole proprietors, but later on a lot of them went and paid their $90 and established an entity of an LLC. And those entrepreneur businesses, some of them had brick and mortar businesses and buildings. Some of them were working out of their home. And those who actually were leasing space, some of them were very serious because they were paying a note. Then we had a lot of people who had fallen out of love with the entrepreneur business and dropped out and just gave up because there wasn't any money to fund their plan or their bill or their program. So we went and got those women, and we talked to those women about how passionate were they about their business. And we asked them if they had some help from a banker who would lend them money, how quick would they be to go back in business? And the majority and overwhelming number of them said all of them would be. They just needed that push and cosmetic facelift so that they can start their business with some financial support to get it off the ground. And we then began to go to work, and we brought in the bankers that were willing to work with these women to loan money to them based on any seasoned money they may have had in the bank. Some of them who had been working in their business, they had Dun & Bradstreet numbers, and they had recordings of the way they do business, and their credit score was being revealed through their Dun & Bradstreet as to what kind of business they had and how they paid bills. Now, a number of them had never borrowed any money before, and a number of them were relying on their own personal credit. And sometimes that can help if you are paying back your bills on time and not missing payments and you have seasoned money in the bank. A lot of times the bank will look at that and see that you're noteworthy and that they can lend you a small amount of money. And some people even get lines of trademarks on their credit to show that they've been in business for a while and can pay back. Now, that's the question. Can you pay back on time? Does this banker want to invest in you? Do you have a project that's noteworthy to invest in that they can see their return on? Because they sure won't invest in an idea that has no potential and there has not been marketing research done on it. So we're going to get into all of that, and we're going to show you how to give yourself a cosmetic facelift. And we're going to presume with this topic throughout the month. This is Women's Month, and we want to talk to you women that you can become entrepreneurs, you can become contractors, and you can do business with the government. You can look at how you can be a recipient of a $5 billion contract
And then they indicated they can give you five and they can whip it on you. And that means that you can go after those $5 billion contracts for your business to get it up and running. But you must have a business plan. You just can't come in there scratching your head saying, this is what I think I could do. No, you've got to have a business plan that's workable and then pretty much have been in business for at least 5 years or more for any bank to take you serious for large sums of money. Now, for those people who want lines of credit, who are just getting off the ground, you can possibly hope for those lines of credit with those stores that you purchased from, like Best Buy, going into, let's see, what other company, something like where you go into duplication for printing and you want to buy supplies and you need credit cards to buy your equipment. A lot of them are sensitive enough to know that you need equipment. And they know that if you have a good business plan and you can develop some customers where they can give you a merchant's credit based on the number of contracted clients that are paying you every month. They can allow you upfront money so that you can use that as working capital. And as you get paid from each one of your constituents, they can take their monthly payment out of that until you paid that loan back. Now, a merchant's credit line of credit is usually the way to go for those small businesses who are just getting started and who need a little help financially to get their supplies together and to pay for those things that are necessary, like operating costs. And it's very important that you know that the first 7 years you don't want to take any of the money out that is for marketing. You want to keep putting that money back into the business and take a small amount out. Most small businesses get started, and initially they factor in a part-time salary for all of their workers until they're at the point where they have working capital to put somebody on the payroll to pay them full time. In most situations of non-for-profit, they want everyone to go on part-time until they can feasibly start earning enough money to give everyone a full-time salary. So businesses sometimes start out small, depending on what type of business you're doing, and at the same time, you're reinvesting in your company. Now, those of you who are contractors, I've been a contractor, I'm currently a contractor now. Those of you who've been contracting for the state, who have been doing a service for the state, like a number of us teachers, can easily contract for the state if we are skilled in becoming a professional development specialist. I happen to be a professional development specialist who has a curriculum degree, a master's in curriculum instruction, where I can help those students or those employees who are mandated to have continuing education every year in order to renew their license. They are called upon to complete 5 to 6 credit hours annually in order to renew their license or to keep their skills up. So a person like myself who is a professional development will come in, assess every one of those employees, set their records up on a yearly basis, set them up and schedule them to go in to take in-house training or go to local colleges or continuing education programs in local colleges to complete their continuing education hours. When you are a professional, you must continue to stay current and you must continue to go to someone like myself, a professional development specialist, who will help you determine if it's more cost-effective for you to enroll in an online course or to go to a weekend seminar course to complete those necessary clock hours. Sometimes they give you an option of choosing the courses you want, but they must be within your profession so you stay current. Now, some employers have in-house professional development that set up training centers within their corporation, and the insurance company is a lot like that. For instance, Blue Cross Blue Shield wanted me to come in, set up their training department, and every week run a training camp where I train the candidates to process Part B Medicare claims, giving them the medical terminology and giving them bits and pieces of anatomy and physiology, preparing them to be able to debrief a claim to process it. And those students are trained. As soon as they're hired, they're trained on the job in a two-week training program, and then they're placed on the floor. Now, mind you now, each one of those recipients have their own training folder with all of their up-to-date trainings in it and when they need to be trained again and how soon they need to complete continuing education. That is to keep your workers current. Now, that is mostly what a trainer does. Now, as far as the government goes, the government wants you to be familiar with their specs, their specifications for training. And their GS-7s and above must have training. So you must set up a training file for every one of those employees. And every employee must go over their bingo sheet and look for classes that they're deficient in and ask you to help them to get enrolled in it, sending them reminders, letting them know that it's 2 weeks before your renewal on your license, so that no one license lapses while they're working in this capacity. And usually we carry our license for 5 years, and after that, we begin to look at what 6 hour classes we can that are for credit. So as a training curriculum specialist, I specialize in going to work for the government to find their employees that need continuing education. And it just so happens there is a shortage of people that are called TACs, training and curriculum specialists. However, in other areas such as child development, they may hire somebody like me to go out into the field to help mentor their teachers and to make sure that they're aware of the fact that they have continuing education classes to complete. And for those who are going for the CDA, they must have a mentor such as me to mentor them about their goals and to also come in and assess them while they are preparing for the non-traditional curriculum, for the non-traditional degree in child development. They must submit portfolios, they must submit their work to the council, and they must have me come out and assess them while on the job, then writing up an evaluation over a three-hour period, sometimes splitting that time up to come in and assess these women and do it secretly when no one has a right to read the assessment. It goes to the council, and I make my recommendation about this candidate. So I have a very vast amount of things to do other than just assessing. I'm mentoring those candidates. I'm collecting their documentations like their portfolio, their parent evaluation sheet, as well as their 13 competencies that they've written. And we're also arranging for them to take a test. And that is an objective test that they're taking that they must sign up for, pay a fee to take this exam, and sit for that exam. Now, those are a lot of things that I'm responsible for, but nevertheless, as a PD specialist, I have been involved with PD specialists as an advisor when it first started, and then we went on to become professional development. And these candidates are well prepared for their exam. We walk them through. We're not allowed to coach them and give them any answers. And a conflict of interest may occur if we are talking to someone that we know that we might be able to give an edge over the next person. We're not allowed to even evaluate those candidates because it's a conflict of interest. Now, that tells you what a trainer does. Some trainers go in and they train all year long. Some trainers build up their training department while they only train occasionally. But what I'm saying to you is that if you're an entrepreneur, you can market that type of business. So I am now ready to market that type of business where I can go in and take a government contract, and then I can subcontract to bring my own workers in that work with me to get a large major job done. But you must understand that if you have a plan of something that you want to do and your line of business. You must outline that plan. You must give step-by-step instructions for how you intend to get to that plan. So your business plan must have, it must have dollars and cents attached to it. How much are you planning on paying yourself? And do you plan on hiring a staff? If so, what is your budget? How much income do receivables or income that you can perceive that are coming in? How much money are you paying that's going out? Accounts receivable and accounts payable. Therein lies, you must have a good accountant and you must have a tax consultant that can advise you on the regulations of your business. So I've said a mouthful, I know, and you probably said, oh, my God, I don't think I can do this. It is just too much. But if I can show you how you can get yourself ready for a business, you'd be very happy. Now, hold tight. We're going to go. Okay. All right, ladies and gentlemen, and we're back, and we're going to be getting into this topic. I want you to understand that every one of you have $1 billion ability to start a $1 billion business, because there are $1 billion contracts just waiting to be had by the government. One would ask, how might I become a recipient of a $1 billion contract for the government? First of all, you've got to have a legitimate business, and you've got to set it up under an entity, and it must be structured. You preferably don't want to be a sole proprietor. In order for some business organization to take you serious, you certainly want to become an LLC or a C Corp or an S Corp. Those are the things you discuss with your attorney. And you ask your attorney, what should you do, and what is the best thing for you in your business? But you certainly don't want to go around thinking that you can set up a business without a plan. It's very important that you do set up a business. One that is going to allow you to bring in income. And you must understand that when you first start, you are not looking to get paid and to blow up the first 7 years, because most of your money is going back in your marketing plan and within your business in order for it to grow. You might set everyone up. If you are doing it alone, you might not hire a staff of employees up front. You might basically just have yourself on payroll, and when you first start, probably giving yourself a seasonable income, and then look at hiring a part-time person that you can pay on the part-time basis. It's very vital that you should understand that you must keep your expenses down, and you cannot think about buying expensive things that can take you under. First of all, you need to have working capital. If you are retiring from a job, taking your 401k with you, and you want to pull that down, be very careful and be cognizant of the fact that there's some tax penalties. So most people do not just pull all their 401k out. They usually look at talking to their lawyer about rolling over their funds into an IRA, a self-directed IRA, and then borrowing from themselves, taking that one penalty, but not both of them. It's very vital that everyone don't have, it's vital to know that everyone don't have a 401k or an IRA. For that matter, some people might want to go to the bank to ascertain a loan. Now, yes, you're probably wondering, what about the Small Business Association? Don't they also offer loans? Yes, they do, but they come with a pretty penalty of interest, and also they're no different than a bank. You just go into a different entity. Now, one thing is different. Most Small Business Association will assist you if you're trying to purchase a building, and they will get involved in the payments and structuring a payment plan for purchasing a building. I don't know too many people that start off in a business that that's going to be so sure that they want to put all their eggs in one basket by purchasing a brick-and-mortar building. That is a heavy, heavy cost accounting that you have to put every month. Most people look at leasing, short-term leasing to long-term leasing, and they put their monies there until they've been well on their way for at least 5 to 7 years. Then they look at purchasing a building that they can get at discount and that they will, that will alleviate the rental cost of a building. But the first 5 years, I don't suggest you purchase a building outright unless you're going into a franchise where they automatically have a building that come with the franchise. Now, I'm not speaking on franchises. That is not our topic for this evening. Our topic is becoming a business where you are structuring yourself to go to the bank, to ask for a loan, and you're structuring yourself to become an LLC and taking yourself serious as a business where you're not commingling your funds as a sole proprietor with your business funds. Now, you must understand that Uncle Sam only recognizes real businesses, not somebody who's dabbling around for, they give you 5 years to dabble around in a business so that if you're still dabbling around in that business, that becomes a hobby and not a business. Because if you have not made a profit and your profit and loss statements don't show that you've made a profit, it becomes a hobby. So let's get this clear. You need a good attorney and you need a good accountant. And first of all, the name that you choose for your company must be clear. It cannot be used by any other company. And once the IRS checks your name and clears your name, you are capable of opening up a bank account in that name. Now, the bank account is going to ask you, are you a sole proprietor or are you? Now, if you're a sole proprietor, that bank account is really in you and the company's name, because you have got to insure it and you've got to be the person on the bank account. So your Social Security number gets revealed. So now you're commingling your Social Security along with your company's name and EIN number. You want to change that if you can, or talk to your immediate counselor, representative, or attorney
or accountant about the possibility of you going LLC. Yes, I know there's some money up front that you got to pay, the $90, but it'll be well worth it. When you pay that $90, then that company will stand on its own with its own EIN number, and you will start developing credit for your company's name, not in your name. You could be the secure in some places, but once you get the LLC, you do not have to use your Social Security number. And even if you're securing that bank account, they are just using your Social Security number so that if you should go under, they're not coming in and repossessing all your personal belongings and taking all your money out the bank to pay off any debt. So it's important that you don't commingle your income and your affairs with your business affairs. Keep everything separate because you're going to have to account for this during tax time. You must understand you will need a business license of some sort and a tax number so that if you are tax exempt, all these a company that is going to set your minutes up and your articles of incorporation, asking you whether or not you want to sell stocks and bonds and or if you want membership. There are several different ways that your attorney can explain to you about your option of setting your business up. Those non-for-profit business don't set theirs up the same way that someone is a for-profit. It's completely different. And I am not an advisor and an attorney or an accountant, so you have to consult your accountant on what is best for you. And I will not sit here and give you a tit-for-tat about what to do. Each individual situation is different. Now, you must understand that the Small Business Association is now on the lookout for women who need a cosmetic facelift, who need their companies boosted up by them having a line of credit and some business funding so that they can use to get their business off the ground. A lot of good businesses and women who have excellent ideas, who really have an excellent business plan and who have laid the foundation, but they just don't have the finance to back them. There are many ways that you can solicit for funds. A lot of people have been using GoFundMe for their businesses, but I'm not going to advise you on that. I'm here to talk to you about going to banks, asking for a line of credit, a line of credit to get you off the ground and get started. And most places are set up, most medical entities that know that the businesses are flourishing and working, they are willing to put up tens and thousands of dollars for you to buy your software and your equipment in order to get your business off the ground, especially if you work in the area of claims and you are working with a couple of entities. They're not franchises, but they're companies that you can buy the rights to their name and you buy the rights to their material that they're going to give you to get your business off the ground while working with doctors. And they know you need the software because you can't do the business without the software. So they market the software to you and they market the upfront flyers and services to you so you can lend these services to your clients, such as the doctors, in their specialty area. So they know that you are going to make enough money that year to profit as well as to turn over enough money to pay them back their loans that they have given you. So they're willing and able to give you tens and thousands of money up front under the auspices that you're going to secure some contracts with these doctors. Now, I know a little bit about that because I had placed students in a one-year program internship. I placed them in internships and helped them to put their portfolios together so that they have an interest letter, they have a brochure, a flyer, then they also have a business card, literally marketing their services through their own method of going door-to-door, calling and submitting their portfolio and their press release. Don't forget about that. They must have a press release in there introducing themselves and the type of work that they deliver. So this can be literally where they have an open house, cutting, a ribbon ceremony, cutting session where they invite people to have tea and crumpets while they talk about their business and pass out their information to local doctors and hospitals in the area, introducing themselves, and then going to do the press release before that and release that press in the newspaper, introducing yourself and your services and inviting hospitals in. Now, it is far better to have some credentials behind you and to have some work experience behind you in that field. You're much more believable. You've done it before, and you've done it excellent for your corporations and companies that you employed by. Now you want to go at it alone. It's much easier to believe that you can master this task because you've done it for corporations before. Make sure that your resume reveals what type of savings you had made for that company when you were doing and processing claims. How much money did you save? And how many claims did you pay that didn't have to go to auditing or research? And how much money are you capable of making for a company and saving them money? There's a lot of money to be had in saving and claims, especially when you go to a doctor and say that you're only paying 70% of your claims and there's money you're leaving on the table. I can show you how to pay 90% to 100% of those claims, and you can walk away with all the money in your pocket. Now, that is a sales hype. You're going to want doctors to invite you in, and you're going to want doctors to come and say, oh, that sounds great. I would really like for you to come in and take care of some of my backlog. Can you handle my backlog? You can show them that you can handle their backlog, and don't even bother with coming on board. Just handle their backlog and show them what a great job you can do of clearing up that backlog. And then they're going to want to keep you on for sure, because they see that the hardest part of the troubleshooting backlog work that their other candidates couldn't quote the claim or pay the claim because there was so many issues, and you go in and troubleshoot those claims and clear them up. They know if you're able to clear up the claims that have troubleshooting issues, you definitely can clear up the clean claims that don't have those issues, and you have a better chance of getting that contract. Now, there are tons of programs out there that are set up where they want to give you the funds and the money to run that business because they have a way of showing you that with their software, you can get pennies on a dollar to have those claims processed, and you can process them for much cheaper than any formal doctor's office or hospital can. So you're saving them pennies on a dollar, and you can even fish out for companies that will process those claims at a low cost for you, and then you're giving them something they never had, giving them something that they can feel. They see the bottom line that those claims are being processed for less money than they were leaving on the table. Now they're getting a whole chunk of money that they had been recently and previously leaving on the table. So you've got to sell yourself. And you got to have a product that really is in need. You can't be just selling things that no one needs. It has to be a business plan that you can solve a problem. Remember, you're like an engineer on wheels solving problems that most companies don't have time or refuse to take the time to decipher, and you're figuring it out for them. Now, let me go on to say that a number of young ladies who are genius and who come up with problem solving all the time. I don't know if you've heard about the young lady who has been talking on the radio about her being the founder of the Kindle. I never knew that there was a black woman that was the founder of Kindle. I was rather surprised. I mean, I was happy as well as shocked. But there are tons of women who are engineers who have the capability of solving lifelong problems and bringing relief to companies. If you have that capability, then you're good as gold, and they don't ever want to let you go. But remember, you're not working for them. You're working for your own corporation. You are just subcontracting for them if you're going after government contracts or going after county contracts. You can become a contractor when you get that bid. You now work for yourself. You just have contracted work that's coming in. Now, if you don't have enough workers, or if you can't complete the job on your own, and you calculate it now that you need 10 men rather than 2 to complete that job, you can now subcontract. And when you subcontract, you can write it into your contract, so their fees are also calculated within your contracted amount, so you can set up payroll to pay your people. A lot of times people find the benefit in the tax remedy from hiring their own children. And when you hire your own children in your corporation, there is a tax break. And that tax break is carried on over to you. And a lot of children say, I don't want to work with my mother and father. But once they find out the tax break and how they can recoup that extra money that is made in bonuses, they are glad to work for their mothers and their father, because they know that that tax deduction is going to trickle down to them. The reason you're going into business for yourself is you want that tax deduction. And you don't see it as much when you are a contractor, but when you're a corporation, you have many things you can write off. For instance, the leasing of your car can be written off, the repairs of your car, the space that you use to house your business, whether it be in a brick-and-mortar building designated for your business or whether it is in your home in some secluded room. Remember that the expenses that you incur in your home, such as your electricity, any repairs on that room and the square footage that you're using, all of that is going to be taken into consideration. Then there are other tax breaks that they offer throughout the independent business owner's expanse of time. When those independent business people see all of the tax write-offs and the deductions that they're getting from the government, they can sing all the way to the bank, because now it's profitable to own that business. The first 7 years, you may not be making a penny, but in your write-offs and your discounts and your taxes, you're bringing home the money because you've gotten incentives, and those incentives are dollars and bills. So now you may not be profiting the first 7 years, but you profited by showing a loss in your business and therefore being reimbursed through the government. So that is why you see so many people that venture out to want to own their own business. They want that almighty tax break. They want that discount. So if you're not showing a profit the first 7 years because of the fact that your business hasn't taken off, you have a lot of losses to show, and you can write off your losses. Your losses will become your positive specters in the game. Now, I want you to understand that this gentleman that I talked to you about, I'm just going to say the gentleman from Essence who owns the business. Now he owns Madam C.J. Walker's mansion. Can you imagine being there for class in that mansion and various different nooks of that building and mansion, learning about business entities with all of the business bankers in their own separate section of the mansion, where you go to capitalize on cha-ching, 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 where you go in to capitalize on your business plan. Don't think that you can go in there and read off at the mouth what it is you're going to do. No, they want to see a hard copy of a business plan. And there are many samples of business plans that are templates and boilerplates that you can sample in order to create your own business plan. That is essential, that you come up with a business plan
and that is laid out. Now, your articles of incorporation, when you incorporate as an LLC, you determine if you want an administrator to write up your articles of incorporation and to get your business license and to file for your business report where, as you do your minutes every year, he files your minutes so that they're recorded. And looking at which entity would be best for you, whether or not you are the president and CEO and you do your minutes amongst yourself. Those are things you're going to discuss with this administrator. Now, it's very vital that you should understand that you got to go down to the county and you got to register your business with the county, okay? And you got to find out if you need a business license and find out if you need a tax license. So if you're selling items, are you exempt? All of these things have to be instructed to you. These are regulations that your attorney, you must get a good attorney and you must get a good accountant, because a business is predicated on having a good accountant and a good attorney to keep you out of trouble so that you are not in violation of the regulations, so that you're paying taxes at a dutifully righteous time, so that you're not caught up into back taxes for not failing to pay. Once you have an accountant and once you have a lawyer, then you have a business. Until then, I tell people you're not serious, because someone has to manage those books and somebody has to show a profit and loss statement, and you must know when to go to your bank to draw money out. And at all times, you must know what your capital gain is. You must know your profit and loss statement. Are you losing money? Do you need other streams of income? And are you diversifying so that you have other products that you're selling? All of these things must be discussed. You just can't have a cute idea and want to monopolize on it and ask the people to give me $5 billion and whip it on me, because no one's handing you $5 billion without a solid business plan. Now, I said a whole lot, but I want those phone lines to open up, and that number is 760-539-3247. You can call in with your questions, and I am your illustrious Ominika 7, and I'm here to take your calls. We're going to commercial. Hold tight. You know, whenever I say that, then somebody cuts off my stuff, and I don't like it. I don't like it one bit. I don't like it when they do that, when they try to hold me up where I cannot hit my buttons. I hate it. Now, I want to say this, ladies and gentlemen. Maybe one day Blog Talk will get on the good foot, because we're in here having a discussion, ladies and gentlemen. And I'm going to go back to those phone lines again. You can call in at 760-539-3247. You have your Ominika on the line. Do I have a caller that needs to call in to say anything? Now, we're not going to have this. We're not going to have this at all, because, see, you're going to make me get angry here in a minute. And I don't want to get angry with anyone about calls on these lines. I really don't. And we got a lot of stuff that's sticking and not doing what it's supposed to do. Now, ladies and gentlemen, if there's anybody that has any kind of questions, please call in and let me know. And I would wish that Blog Talk would straighten up my screen again and put my songs and music back on there, because this isn't right. When you pay for a service, you want to get it. And you don't want any trouble. I don't want no trouble, and neither do you. And we have a discussion going here, and my audio clips must come on. Now, I want to say for the record, I've been on this airwaves over 10 years, and I brought many, many people to this airwaves. And we're going to celebrate fashion style in May. We're going to go way out for the entertainment of those who have been supporting me and who have been a part of my crew and who have called in, and those of you who I've interviewed, you know who you are. I have interviewed I have interviewed thousands of people over the past 10 years, and they've gotten their break because I've opened up on airways and allowed them to speak and allowed them to be a part of my show. And I want to say this for the record. For those of you who are out there who knows what the Oracle Divination Network show means, it is not a queer show. It is a paranormal show that talks about how people who need help can come to a self-help entity and get the help they need for what ails them. A lot of people are out of work. They want to put their own corporation together, and they want to go out and determine what their worthiness is and what they're worth. They don't want anyone putting a number on them. Let me say for the record and speak for the seniors. I guess I can do that at my age. The seniors have been penalized while on Social Security and not at full retirement age, where they're limited as to how much they can make. And most of them are beneath the poverty level. And then they go and get sanctioned where they cannot make over a certain amount of money without being penalized. For every $2 that we make, we have to give $1 back to Social Security if we are not 66. But all grace be to God, when we turn 66, we are full retirement age. And nobody then can tell us that we cannot make over a certain amount and that we have to pay half of our shares back to Social Security. It's not happening. I know that I did read somewhere that you can go back and get those funds that you have lost after you turn 66. Well, I'm turning 66 this year. Thanks be to God. I can now look at being able to stand up erect and not have to worry about, am I making over the number, over the amount of money, and can I receive excess dollars over? Thank you, God, for them having such a law. Thank you, God, that that is existing for us elderly, because we certainly need it. Now that I said that, I want to go back to these phone lines. Our number is 760-539-3247. You can call in any time now. And I don't understand why I'm not seeing my other side of the screen. What is going on here? Why can't I see my other side of the screen? Am I still on the air? I don't see where I'm still on the air. We got a problem. Houston, I think we got a problem. I don't see where I'm still on the air. What is the problem? Now, I'm going to go out and come back in. And I better be able to see something on the screen because we got a problem. We certainly got a problem. Let's see what's going on here. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, we're back in here now. Okay, everything's okay. Everything's good. Thank you, Houston. We no longer have a problem. We are fine here. We're fine.
And we're back, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you so much for joining me on the show this evening. And we are talking about there is a $5 billion business in every woman. Are you that woman that would like to have a cosmetic facelift? One of the things that we're going to feature on the show, we are going to talk about expanding this program for the whole month of March and talking about giving women facelifts to assist them and aiding them and setting their business back up who have no longer been able to continue because of lack of funding. Now, we are going to also try to get a phone call in to the gentleman who is proposing to open up this conglomerate for women business owners. And we're going to get a phone call into him in the near future to talk to him about allowing me to assist him and aid him with my expertise in this area of business. And you might be one of the lucky callers that I call and bestow upon you an opportunity to be a part of our selective show. And we're going to find out just when and how soon will he be establishing this building and when will it be up and running. And we can be the legs, like the worker bees, to help them get it going. It's not good to propose a problem without a solution. We're going to solve it for him. We're going to congregate and be a chapter right here in Indianapolis, Indiana, to assist and aid him with the women here with my expertise in business, setting up entities, helping women to do cosmetic facelifts, and get back on board again with their independent status. Yes, I did once go to Milwaukee, Wisconsin, and propose a contract to the mayor that I could take as many women off welfare and put them in the business and cottage home business called Child Development Associates. I was given that opportunity to interview over 100 women and to help them to put their proposals together, set up their own family care center, and to run it with the aid of the government assisting them with their credentials and to obtain their CDA credentials. And the actual mayor aided me and assisted me in working with child care centers all over Milwaukee and getting these women put into internships who had no prior work experience. Now it's set up where you can only get the scholarship if you're currently working in the field of child development. I think that's a disadvantage. I think the woman that wants to work in child care, it would spark her interest to be a better mother. She could be a better mother. And it would also help to put those women in internships who have no profession and who don't currently work in the child care field by bestowing a scholarship upon them. They can complete those credentials and go to work for themselves. I knew women who set up many child care centers, and they brought their own directors in to run their centers in home and family child care, and they set up group child care. I challenge that because I want my women and my friends to have the same opportunities I have had. I have been so fortunate to be able to be bestowed upon a scholarship while in undergrad school to complete my undergrad work, and then to go on to my graduate degree and to complete it, and then complete an endorsement and an ABA program in the paralegal program. So I learned all these skills through my paralegal 6 months program, ABA, and I like to point out Roosevelt University did a fantastic job of directing me to understanding business laws and entities. So I learned quite well what to do and how to do to set up the business entity. Now, it gets a little costly, and sometimes when we get right out of college, we don't have the money to purchase all these things. I know I didn't. So we put it off, and then we find ourselves needing a cosmetic facelift because we give the business up because it's just so much upfront money to get it off the ground. Well, I want to tell you, there's a gentleman out there now who has saw the need to assist and aid women that are in the entrepreneur sectors of their life. He wants to engage them. He wants to set up a headquarters where they can collaborate and they can formalize and they can meet up and they can talk about how do I propose this proposal to this banker that I want to finance me? How do I get funding? How do I get trademarks?
How do I get credit cards? And am I credit noteworthy? What do I need to do? He is going to give us all of the insights. And it's going to take him a little while to structure everything. I don't think he's going to be starting that before 5 years. There's a lot of foundation, and he has to collaborate with banks, and he has to get real funders out there that's ready to fund these women with all of their great ideas and business plan. Well, I've been a contractor and a consultant for many, many years in the field of child development, training in child development for institutes who have candidates who work in the field as a child care worker who must keep their license current and up to date. I've done in-house trainings. I've done international trainings overseas for the United States Army, and I set up the very first training program for the CDA overseas in Hanau, Germany. And I submitted several women to go through the training who were successful in obtaining their credentials as a CDA, which is a non-traditional indirect route that they earn a diploma rather than earning a four-year bachelor's degree. This can be earned within 9 months to a year, a certificate, which is equivalent to a two-year degree, and they can go in with 11 credit hours and go enroll in anybody's two-year associate program and start off with 11 credit hours to start their bachelor's degree or their two-year associate. Most of them go on for a bachelor's degree because with their diploma, it's equivalent, and they can use it to become a director of a child care center or a head teacher. And in some cases, some states will allow them to be up to third grade teachers. This is a grand opportunity to give back to women, and I want to give back to women this month because it is Women's Month. And all of those women out there who are listening to the sound of my voice, if you don't have a profession, because I've been in training practically over 40-some-odd years, I have a couple of things that I can introduce you to for training. And one of them is in the allied health profession. And I don't know if you've heard about HIT, the home information, the health information technology credential, where you can obtain a two-year degree in the area of medical records and health information medical records and coding. You can obtain a two-year HIT. And the health information technologist is a two-year associate, but there is a bachelor's degree and the health information administrator where you get a four-year degree and you do administrative and supervision work. Now, it's very important for you to understand that these two credentials are different. One is a two-year associate and one is a four-year. Now they have a one-year certificate program in coding, and coding can be done in specialty areas, in home health coding, hospice coding, and also in diagnosis coding. And this is in the home health profession, not in the hospital outpatient and inpatient. And with this specialty, you can prepare to get the first level credential to prepare yourself to go to the conference and go to the 3-day conference and get information and carry your YF9 2019 guide that will tell you what the regulations are for coding. And you can use that coding tool in the 3-day class to show you how to code. But most people that need to know how to code that don't know, they're basic. They do not give you the test when you come down as a status, as a basic. You have to have more years of experience behind you. However, if you come down as an intermediate and you've coded before and you want to go through the three-day conference, you can, and you can prepare to sit for the examination. And they offer an examination for a fee. And upon taking that examination, if you should pass, there are no prior credentials that they want you to have, such as a degree or bachelor's degree. If you pass that exam, it's an open book exam. If you should pass it with the 75 or greater on your score, you are then granted. You're then granted if you're taking the outpatient coding for CPC, you're then granted your CPC, or you can be granted the acronym for the home health, and that is I'm not going to give you acronyms on that, but that is the home health care for hospice, home health care for OASIS, home health care for home health. Now, those are some ready-made professions where you could go in as a contractor and work. Then you can also contract yourself with the government to do their backlog or their work in coding. There lies an opportunity for you to become a full-fledged agency and offer your contracted work to clear up some backlog work. Now, I said a mouthful, and I know that some of you are waiting to get on those phone lines. You can call me right now at 769-3247. We're talking about getting ready for cosmetic facelift for women, African-American women who would like to be sole proprietors or who would like to be an independent entrepreneur to own your own business. Now, I didn't say this, but I want to tell you this. Along with your business plan, you should also have a logo. Along with your press release, you should put your logo somewhere on your stationery, something that's equivalent to your business, something they can identify you with. Because when you get ready to rent and lease that car, you want to put your logo on the window or on the door somewhere, because you're now writing that car off, and you're writing that car off for mileage, or for repairs, or for leasing. So it becomes a write-off. Now remember, we go to workshops and seminars, and we must report these workshops and seminars as work experience, a home away from home, and we must report these as a write-off, because you can report your conferences and workshops that you attend for the benefit of earning CEUs. And it's very vital that you should keep track of your training, because you're a professional now. You're writing everything off. Everything is write off, and it is negotiable, such as the lunches that you have while at your business meeting, while you're there at the business meeting, all the funds that you spend on that ticket to go to that conference. All of these are write offs. And can you imagine while you're still trying to make money the first 7 years and you are showing a loss? You get to write off all these things that you've invested money in, and then you might find that you're getting some money back, when in fact you didn't make any money the first year. You lost a lot of money. And you must understand that your losses be your gain. But it's very vital for you to get in on what we're doing here and this All for Divination Network. You want to call in, want to be a part of it, and say, hey, I am an entrepreneur. I need a cosmetic facelift. I'd like to register my name so that we are starting the process early on when the gentleman, which I can't remember his name, when he gets everything established, we can be the first in line, well established, to say, hey, bring us on board. We know about the project and we want to be a part of it, and we want to be able to utilize our business plan to get some help from the bankers. And we also want to be role models, to role model for those other women who are just getting started with their plan of study to have a business. Now, I said a whole mouthful, and I said all that to let you know that we are about the business of doing some things in here, and we are working things out. Don't think we're just in here eating bonbons and talking all day long. We're not doing that. We're working things out. We are working things out. And ladies and gentlemen, every now and then we do have this problem where we cannot get our equipment to work, and sometimes it sticks back and forth. But just hang in there. Things will get better. I know they will. And I want to let you know that this is a feature show from the All for Divination Network. We are a group of paranormal people my crew is gone now. Maddie Harvey and Jimmy Harvey and LaFrance Garth, as well as Terrell Garth, were featured weekly in-house residents who aided and assisted us in the show. We have been on next month for month after next, which is May. We would have been on for 10 long years. That's a long, long time. We've put out a lot of shows and a lot of energy, over 600-some-odd shows, showing ourselves to be approved, a workman needed not to be ashamed. And we did it with no cost. We're now looking at trying to get royalties and going out front and getting ads of people that will support us. We're going to have businessmen and women on our side. All we have to do is ask them to make a donation to our radio station so we can market them like we did the attorneys, those candidates who were graduating from law school. We featured them, and we're going to feature these businesswomen, and they're going to give us donations, and they're going to aid us and assist us so we can send as many women to New York as possible to get that cosmetic facelift and get their face lifted up with a business plan and lines of credit to get their business off the ground. What a fabulous plan we came up with. What a great opportunity for women this Women's Month. Happy National Women's Month. Get ready, get ready, get ready, because it's coming. And I'm going to be the one to lead the way. So follow the leader. And thank you for letting me be myself today. I want to thank you for letting me be myself again. I want to thank you for letting me be myself again. Thank you for letting me be myself on the show again. You always let me be myself, and I can break out in a tune any moment. So thank you for letting me be myself today on this Oracle Divination Network. Thank you so very much, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for allowing me to come on here unmolested and to speak to you. You're talking to the host of the show, Omi Inka, 7 and Tri, coming at you. Our phone lines are open at 760-539-3247. You're on the air. If you'd like to speak to the host, all you need to do is cue us in and let us know what your question is today. We're talking about establishing Black women in their businesses. Now, I want you to know we do everything in a duality style, and we have not forgotten about our men. We know that the Black woman is a double minority, but just think what it would be like if you brought your significant other in to work with you in this conglomerate business. That would be a party. I'm sure you know what I mean. Now you got three people for the benefit of two. And now you're rocking with some style. Now your business is glorified and your children are glorified, and you can take those vacations and you can frequently tour outside of your neighborhood. Isn't that great? That's a great opportunity. And for those of you who don't know who I am, let me introduce myself. I am the host of two shows, World Free, Facebook Live, Freaker, and also YouTube, and here on Blog Talk Radio Station. And I'm being featured as an activist. I'm somewhat radical, you would say, and I do stick my nose into things that I think that are not right, but I do go for the underdog. And I do fight for the underdog. I want to help those women who are trying to establish themselves in a business and who have not gotten the help they need and the financial aid. We are going to be locking in partnership with agencies that are able to assist those people who are looking for funds to fund their business. And we are not going to stop until this is a reality for the women. And most women don't realize that they must
find a way to help their own self. And you cannot help your own self if you are not out there getting the help you need. You might be the new kid on the block, but you don't always have to stay there. You can advance yourself, and you can get yourself ready for the next coming of leadership, women in leadership, and entrepreneur. Stay tuned. Now, we got a problem here, Houston. You keep sticking my buttons, and I cannot play my music. I would love it if someone would turn the music back up. It's not turned up too loud, but we would love for that music to be turned up. Now, I want to say for the record that sometimes when we get on these radio stations, we are in for trouble. But nevertheless, the topic we're talking about is about making people independent, putting some money in everyone's pocket, not just those entrepreneurs, but everyone, and utilizing the government funds that they have to give to those minorities who have not had a break, who've had to have 13th and 14th and 15th Amendment created so that they can be compensated. Now that it's our time to be compensated, we want to be fully compensated with that $1 billion capability. Now whip it on us, because we know it's available to us. Someone has spilled the beans and told us, hey, girl, you need to go over and get registered with the county. Hey, girl, go and get registered with the state. And while you're at it, get certified with the government to do business with him so you can bid on some of those contracts. And that's what we're going to do. We're going to do exactly that because we know we're capable and we're builders, and we were some of the first founders of the world and the first doctors and physicians and scientists and engineers. So we are going to be about it, and we're going to be pulling out our best to get our cosmetic facelift so we can get ready to go to Madam C.J. Walker's crib over in New York, the mansion they call it, so we can set high and look low. It is our time now for us to be featured in many places where we are establishing businesses independently, not just doing sole proprietorship, but LLC, C-Corp, and S-Corp, and partnership. We're looking good now. And this is a time during the month of Women's Month that we should be establishing ourselves to make history, to go down in the history book with the Sleepy Part Hollow, where they established the train workers and made history. And we are looking at women who are coming into their own in filmmaking, coming into their own as being pilots, coming into their own as offering services to the community, whether it be entertainment. We're not all entertainers. We do have some scruples about getting credentials. I am a master's degree teacher with the ability to be an international gospel soul singer because of the fact that I want to give back to my sister. I'm taking the time free of charge to come on these airways to give back to my sisters so that they can establish themselves as a business, a sole proprietor, and have access to bankers that will lend them funds to have a startup fee for their businesses. And this is a gift that I'm giving to my sisters, my time, free of charge. No strings attached, because you can come in this room and we're going to connect with those resources and those funds that will aid and assist us. Right here in Indy, we have meetings out the year to help women entrepreneurs to get established. Purdue University has also gotten in on the game in Maryville, Indiana, where they're offering their facilities at a low discount price for those who are looking for space and who are looking for technical space at that. But we want to make sure that everyone knows that this is about to happen. In about 5 years, there will be an attempt to open up the mansion, Madam C.J. Walker's mansion, by a group of constituents and business owners who have purchased Madam C.J. Walker's mansion. And they have chosen to use this mansion for the glorification and the benefit of women and to uplift them just like Mrs. Sarah Breedlove wanted. She wanted each and every one of these women to be able to be independent and well-established and come off the floor of being a washwoman. I know what it is to be a washwoman. I started from a humble beginning. I cleaned houses, my 10 sisters and I, for a living at the age of 14 years old. We established our first business that went on to become a legacy right there in Gary, Indiana. We were able to maintain 10 sisters and then adding on help from the youngest to the oldest, where we cleaned houses for bachelors and earned our way to go to college. So we know about hard work, and I know about bank accounts and structuring your money so that you put your money back into the marketing and you keep the business going. Now, we're going to give the help that these women need to establish themselves, and we're going to bring in the bankers that have the long green to help these women to get established. And we're going to bring in the necessary people from New York to invite us there to come so that we can sit amongst the finest with Sarah Breedlove's spirit breathing all over us. I thank you for Ms. Madam C.J. Walker. She is my understudy, and I am planning on playing her here in Indianapolis, Indiana, to be her understudy and to ad-lib her personality. And what she did for Indy here was outstanding, and we will tell the whole story. Thank you so much for listening to the sound of my voice, and I do know that you will have an opportunity to advance yourself, so get ready for it. Get ready. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we are going to tell you to come back and to listen to our show, and we're going to have Facebook listen, and we're going to ask Facebook to come out and to listen to our show and to get as many people as you can, Facebook, to view this particular show. It is a very important show for those women to understand that we are not just talking. We are doing something. And this is Black Women's, well, this is Women's Month, and we're focusing in on those Black businesses. And don't ask me why, because I'm a Black woman, and we're always forgotten, and we help everybody to build themselves, but they want us to apologize for building ourselves. Well, I'm unapologetically not going to apologize for saying Black women this time, because that's who we're featuring. And we don't know anyone else to feature, because if you're for yourself, then we have to be for ourselves, and we have to do for self. And this is a self-help radio station, and we are helping one another climb up the ladder, do a cosmetic facelift, clean ourselves up, brush our businesses off, and get out there and market ourselves and pay our own way and pay it forward. Because nobody's going to do anything for you. There's no God in the sky that's coming down here to pretend to be a spook God. We have to rise up and be the gods that we are and co-create with the God that he's left us with that resides on the inside of our being. Now go out and co-create and come back to this room this week. We'll be featured again tomorrow, and we are planning on having a guest to come in to talk to us about how to lay our business out, how to make our next connection. Find your lawyers, find your accountants, because you will need them, and definitely get your company's name cleared and go open a bank account and start the process of being a real legitimate business. Now, thank you so very much for listening to the sound of my voice, and I want to say to everyone here today that you've been to be with for the last couple of hours in this show, and we'd like to say that we are sounding out now. Thank you so much. If we could get some music on here, Facebook, I would love you so much. Not Facebook, I'm sorry. This is Blog Talk. If you could get some music on here, I'd appreciate it. And if you would let me unlock my files, okay. I see you did that. Maybe you give us some music. Can you give us some music? Can you dig it? Give us some music, please.
Yes, you got all of the buttons going on now. And I can't seem to open up the door. Don't want nobody to give me nothing. Just open up the door and I get it myself. I don't want nobody to give me nothing. I open up the door and just get it myself. Just get it myself. Willie, did anything come on in there? Willie? Did anything come on in there? Did anything come on in there? Look and see. Okay. Oh, God.